Welcome to the Leadership Raccoon Podcast. Today we're doing something a little bit different, and something that I think we'll be doing more of in the future is providing leader toolkits, some things that you can take away to become a better manager, a better leader, and in this case, how to be a better boss. So we've got a few tools here. One, we have an infographic that Mike has developed into 10 steps that help you overcome some of those barriers. We talk a lot about barriers at Leadership Raccoon. There's always these challenges. How do you get around them? How do you step through these barriers, step around these barriers to keep moving forward? So we're going to have the infographic, this podcast, and an article that Mike has written about becoming a better boss as a way for you just to come in here, go through it, and pick out what applies to you. So let's jump into this, Mike. So the infographic piece of it is kind of broken down into a few different areas. You've got understanding human nature, understanding the behaviors, and then also knowing what's going to hold you back personally and organizationally from becoming a better boss. So let's jump into this, Mike, where it starts. Your description starts about kind of knowing and understanding the psychology of human nature.
And this is what I get excited about, Brooks, is this is not just how to be a better boss, taking 20 minutes a day to really amp your game on being a better leader. It's also how you be a better person. The reason is because we're going to get into human nature right now, and human nature is human nature. Whether you're in the office dealing with somebody, or whether you're at home, or you're dealing with friends or colleagues or whatever. So this has got really broad application, even though we're obviously talking leadership here. I start out, and the infographic will show it, it says understand human nature. The reason you want to understand human nature, get a real clear, crisp picture of that, is as a leader, you want to leverage human nature. Mm-hmm. You don't want to leverage against it, right? People are people, and back to that old theory X, theory Y thing, you can beat people and blame them and castigate them, but that's kind of leveraging against human nature. You're using
going
raw
against the
power,
grain.
Fear,
yep.
force to do
yep.
it, or you can capture the best of human nature, leverage that, what motivates people, what really gets them on fire, and you can move the world, right? Back to the lever moving the world. So how do you understand human nature? And this is the way I look at it, to make it simple. If you really think about the purpose of your brain, what does it want above all else?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wants for you to survive. It wants you to keep you
That's
alive.
That's number one in the hierarchy
number
of needs.
Number one. Now, that software is running under the surface. You're not aware of it.
Right.
But everything that that you do during the day, every time you feel a little spike, very negative spike when you're trying to change behavior, all that's related to your brain thinking, well, the way you were doing it before was safe.
Right.
So I'm giving you a little message here, a little error
Slow
message.
Down.
Slow down, right? don't try that. And the reason that the brain does that, again, number one is to keep you alive. But here's the problem. The software that the brain runs on is a little bit outdated. You know, we're looking back 200,000, 500,000 years
ago.
It's
time for a new patch. It's time for a new release.
And that's hard to do.
Yeah.
But the brain will react emotionally to an office setting, for example, and overreacted a large number of ways because it is acting just like it was when you went into a cave and there was a saber-toothed tiger in there. You're getting the same emotional jolts that maybe you really shouldn't be getting. That if you stood back and took a deep breath, you wouldn't go off half-cocked some of the time. So that's the basis, is one, that the brain, your brain, everybody's brain wants them to survive, but the trouble is a little bit outdated on the software package that it's using in the modern world. So with that in place, then you got to take the next step up, which are what are basic human drives. And I go to my favorite psychology prof, Paul Lawrence, taught me psychology in grad school. He wrote a book called Driven with another fellow, Nitin Noria. Noria is now dean at Harvard Business School. And what they did is they looked at all human drives and categorized them, kind of a meta study, and then came up with put them in clumps and came up with as few drives as possible. And the basic drives they came up with were bonding. We bond. We're social animals above all else. Learning, acquisition, defense. Those basic four, but then they're all intertwined. So you can have a drive between bonding and learning, which is some type of a mutual engagement around a campfire or whatever. And then there are all kinds of sub-drives under. But I like to think of that. It's very simple. Bond, learn, acquire, defend. So as a leader, how can you draw on those to get the best out of human beings? Well, think about it. They're concerned about relationships. That's the bonding, right? So pay attention to that. They want to learn. So give them a little string and guidance.
See if they
and
take
work
it.
With them.
Right.
Yeah. They want to acquire. So the resources are always important. And then you got the defend side. You just have to watch out that you have a positive environment for them. And that's a lot of talking. But that's just a good way to start in thinking about this whole issue, the leadership raccoon issues. Why can't we be better leaders? And we know what good leadership is. What are the barriers? But job one is to make sure you're leveraging human nature.
Yeah, understand basics. You don't have to go to psychology and have a four-year degree, right? We're just talking about understanding basic human psychology and applying it to your workplace.
Absolutely.
The person next to you is motivated by something. You're motivated by something. If you can figure that out,
right.
Guess what? Now you can better utilize that resource.
And that's a crucial point, because everybody in the world, whether they're Japanese or Russian, English, whatever, have inside their head values, certain assumptions and biases, opinions, facts, experiences. That's humankind, right? The problem is, for every individual in the world, each of those is different.
Yep.
Exactly, right? So my values are not quite what your values are, even though we've talked about values a great deal. But my opinions are not the same as yours.
Closely aligned, but executed differently, I'm sure.
Right. And so this is where it gets to be a big deal, because we assume other people know our values. It's just an assumption that we carry around in our head. So we walk in the room and take over a unit, say, of 6-8 people, and start talking about things. And you're assuming they have your values, that they know you're a person of integrity. And
yep. Great
they
point.
They don't.
Great point.
They can't see your values. That's right. The whole point.
They know my past 10 years. I wouldn't let you down. Right? They know that.
They've heard that 100 times.
Brooks, he does good stuff, right? No, they don't know. They don't care.
But what they do know is your behaviors. So if you are talking, when somebody comes in your office and you're talking to them and you continue to type, small behavior, but you have dissed them to some extent. You're not paying full attention. You don't really care about them. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the behavior side, not what you think your values are.
Right. I was going to say, I might, when I'm doing that, I'm typing, maybe I assume that behavior is okay, because I've learned that people multitask. That's how people work.
Right.
But someone else might come in and be like, whoa, I can't believe that person. I really wanted to talk to them. And a lot of you listening may be in leadership position. Someone comes into your office and they want your attention. They're probably standing outside that door a little nervous. Like, okay, I got to make sure I time this right. I say this correctly. And I'm guilty of this. You're on the computer sometimes like, whoa, this person, I need to give them attention. They came into my office to talk to me, and right away I'm shutting them down. So how you view something could be totally different than the person standing outside.
It's one of 100 different little behaviors that you can do to shut people down that you're not even aware of. But again, remember, that's what they see. They don't see your values, your integrity.
Thinking inside your head.
Integrity, excellence, all that stuff. That doesn't matter. They just can't see it. So the interesting thing is, though, when they look at your behaviors, as if the first part wasn't bad enough, the second part is they will misconstrue some of your behaviors. And I had a client in the Middle East, a sheikh, but he was a chief engineer.
Okay.
And running a mega project, and would every morning stand out in the hallway in front of his office, because it had like a sort of like one of those counter fold-down things at his office. He would stand there with his tea and his white robes and say hello to everybody when they came in. Well, I didn't tell you what the what the project was. The project was to launch the first Arab satellite. Mm. That's what he was heading up, and he did it. So now he's a rock star. Mm-hmm. So what do? They move him into the corner office that's massive, and windows on all sides. He's an introvertish guy. Really mm-hmm. good leadership attributes, but it doesn't matter whether you're an introvert or extrovert, but he was introvertish. So he tended in his new big office just to work on his computer. Mm-hmm. And about a month later, his HR person went in and said, sir, just wanted to let you know that the employees think you're mad at them. Mm. And he said, why? And they said, well, you don't say hello to them anymore. Again, a small behavior, but we're very attuned to people in authority mm-hmm. positions, right? So what do you think he did?
Moved his office?
Well, you got it. I thought that he would simply go out and mill around in the hall. He actually moved his office and took that little office again.
Took it back,
and
yeah.
Started, and everything got. So it's one of those, it's called the negativity bias, but it works for bosses especially, where you'll look at a boss behavior and you could misconstrue it. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is make people more, what are the great leader behaviors, become more aware of them, practice them, and then raccoon-like, you got to get around certain barriers.
Practicing the self-awareness.
Yeah.
That is critical.
Huge.
Right now, like, I think you can do that something in just a few seconds a day when you're interacting with someone, just stop and think, what are they thinking about me right now? What assumptions are they making based on the way I'm carrying myself, the way I'm dressed, the way I'm speaking? You know, I like to try and be aware of that. So I don't do a great job of it, but I always try to be aware of the situation and kind of starting from, okay, I need to earn this person's respect, not assuming that you have their respect.
And that's one of the three big personal barriers that we face, which is really that self-awareness lack. We all lack self-awareness to some extent, which keeps us functioning, right? Mm-hmm. But there is a scale. Some people really lack self-awareness and others don't. And I did an 8,000 boss study. The ones on the lower end, the one common denominator, the only thing common among them, because they had all kinds of bad attributes, but the one common thing, they lacked self-awareness. Mm. They were not aware of the impact they were having on other people. I tell groups that when I speak, and people's feathers sometimes get a little ruffled because mm-hmm. they almost want that bad boss to be Satan. But maybe is Satan, but he just doesn't know it, right?
Yeah.
That's that lack of self-awareness. So what you said is so important. A big antidote to that, one of the raccoon ways to get around is to self-reflect. Mm-hmm. We don't do enough of that, and the distraction in the modern workplace steals that away from us. Mm-hmm. Other things to do, just get honest feedback from others. Find an honest broker, somebody who really will talk to you, and is not afraid to give you some. Mm-hmm. Take assessments. There mm-hmm. are all kinds of online assessments, and we can certainly list some on the site.
Yep.
But they're free, many of them are quite valid. Encourage other people to give you opposing views. That's always helpful. And, you know, you certainly look at, some people can look at coaching too.
Yeah. I like the last thing you just said, that encourage other people to be that devil's advocate for you, right? I know it could be a friend, a brother, a spouse.
Right.
But I think it's important, a mentor, mm-hmm. someone that you can go to and be like, hey, am I off? Am I off on this? Honestly, like, this is what I did, or even just in general. I think I do that with my wife sometimes. My wife can check me. Hey, you know how you sound right now? And I go, no, how do I sound? You know, oh, okay. It really but it has to be someone that you deeply respect. You know, again, close friend, brother, colleague, mentor, that can just say, hey, Brooks, or hey, Mike, maybe this is a little bit off. I think that's important to have in your life. If you don't have that, seek it out.
I always tell people, if you really want to get your 360, all you got to do is go to your spouse.
Yeah.
And then nobody ever did. I mean, that's a...
Yeah.
But until I got into a position of authority where I was teaching grad school leadership mm-hmm. at a couple of schools right now, in fact, I will make the students go out and solicit from two people mm-hmm. feedback on how they can improve in the future, mm-hmm. you know, throwing it into the future, not the past. One fellow not only went to his wife for advice about behavioral change. He also asked his mother-in-law.
Mm.
I gave him an A for the course.
Just for courage.
Yeah, exactly.
So going through, so what other behaviors, Mike? We hit on some of the human factors, some of the behaviors.
Well, the behaviors.
What else?
The behaviors, one thing I did, which was kind of fun, I started collecting stories about people's best bosses.
Mm.
And what happens if somebody's talking about a best boss, invariably they'll get excited. Quite often they'll tell a story. And in most cases in that story, they're telling a story about a boss behavior that affected them.
Mm.
So I collected 200 of these stories, initially more now, but 200 of them, and broke them into categories. And it was pretty simple stuff. Sounds like kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
but we know what good leadership is. But it was value others, involve others, help others, and dialogue and listen.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Those are four mega categories. For example, the value others, very simply, over and over again, simple things like saying hello to people, acknowledging them, nodding in the hallway, these little things you don't think are important, but in our brains, again, mm-hmm. that software says it is important. The other piece of that value others is on occasion show empathy,
mm-hmm.
If appropriate. A real quick story on that. I knew a woman that was working for an executive. She was working, they were working late at night, typical executive hours, right? And he said to her, Jesus, it's my gosh, it's 8 o'clock, why don't you go home? And she said, oh, I can't because we've still got one more meeting and I need to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at her and he said, no, you have an 8-year-old son. And he needs you more than we need those notes. I'll
right.
take the notes. See, that was just how long did that take? What was that 8 seconds, maybe?
But I would say what it...
Think about the power.
Right. And what it took, though, is a leader that was invested in their people.
Exactly.
So before that happened, that leader took a chance to understand the person, understand their life, understand
right.
their challenges in their life, not hold it against them.
Right.
Right? But use it to their advantage, really. And I don't mean that in a manipulative way. Just, hey, I know I can take care of these notes.
Exactly.
Go. Take care of your life.
And it was a strong...
And how much is that going to pay that boss back in the future?
Well, she told me this story 15 years later.
There you go.
So you think, yeah, there's the impact. So that's one of the little stories I collected under value mm-hmm. others, right? Acknowledge
like
people, show empathy. And then there's the help others, which is really the countless number of ways you can help people every day with your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
your time, advice, giving them actually giving them something that stretches them,
mm-hmm.
Praise. That's law of reciprocity. That's what builds trust.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, those are the four basic behaviors, and we got more on the website on that, but dialogue and listen, involve others, value others, help others. Then we've broken it down into a simple leadership behavior, almost check sheet, and we'll have that on the site as well. And what you should do, go through that sheet and ask yourself, which of these behaviors am I not doing now? That's what's important because
mm-hmm.
it's a good leader behavior, perhaps praising somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I never, looking back, I wish I'd praised people more.
It's a harder thing to do.
For some people
realize,
like
me, yeah.
So let's say it's give praise to Jennifer tomorrow. You actually circle that one, and then that's what you're going to have to do. 20 minutes a day, make sure you practice some of the,
mm-hmm.
couple of the real simple ones you're not doing now. Now, what will slow you down is your brain, because remember you talked a little about habit and change.
Mm-hmm.
This is something new, and your brain is going to send out this little tiny error message to make you want to stop.
Mm-hmm. Make you uncomfortable.
Make you uncomfortable.
Blood pressure goes up, nerves
exactly.
go up.
Exactly. So again, right? we're back to Leadership Raccoon. You got to get around that barrier of your own brain.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that? Well, first off, start with small changes. Right. Don't try to change everything at once. Then place them on a to-do list. If you look at your to-do list, it's all admin stuff,
mm-hmm.
administrative stuff. Call so-and-so, do this, do that. You don't see people-related stuff.
Yeah.
So add a couple on the to-do list.
What are you
list.
Doing to develop employees?
Exactly. And that forces you, it gives you a little more oomph to
mm-hmm.
get over that error message from your brain. I tell people to practice these things 20 minutes a day in the morning. And the reason is there's some interesting work now on willpower. And it's kind of what you would think, which is willpower degrades over the day. So if you've got more willpower in the morning, then use that time to practice the new behavior, right? Use charts. You could have somebody check on you, kind of an unofficial coach. Let other people know you're doing it. Write it down. All these little things we know about habit, you got to do to get around that barrier. And then that gets us up to the organization.
Yeah, so we kind of worked on behavioral, psychological, controlling the things you can control, but now you're at some of these harder barriers. I think some of these are the bigger barriers,
barriers.
We're dropping down some metal doors here with spikes saying, organization says do not go through. Right. What do you do, Mike?
Well, and those are culture, bureaucracy, and the chain of command. I'll give you an example real quickly. I'll make this one short, but I met a gal in an Apple store because I thought my computer was on the fritz, and she pops it open. She's all this leadership stuff. She's about 19 years old, and she gets all excited. Oh, let me tell you about my boss. And she points to the Alan over there, who's in this black t-shirt, and says, that's my boss, and he's really good. He helps us out all the time, and teaches us all kinds of great things on customer service. And when we get done with our work, he lets us play. And I said, well, what do you mean play? And she said, oh, he lets us get into the advanced Apple programs. And, well, that play is making her a better employee, right?
Right.
And then she said, then she got a negative tone to her voice and like a shadow over her face. She said, it was very different than where I used to work. I worked for a supermarket chain, and it was dog-eat-dog world. People blamed everybody every time something went wrong. Lots of management turnover, changing structure all the time. People were negative and had knots in their stomach coming in. She went on and on and on. And then it dawned on me a couple days later that her name was Becca, so I call it the Becca test. What would it take for you to go back, leave the Apple store, and go back to work for that chain? See, that's a sick culture. They couldn't offer you 20% more salary and have you, and you wouldn't go back into it. So that's the power of some of the culture bureaucracy and the chain of command, which is really fascinating. And we'll have something posted on that shortly. I've discovered basically 8 hidden traps inside information, inside the chain of command, basically, and which is more interesting than sounds like here. I promise you that.
How to be a better person or better boss in 20 minutes a day. That is the topic we just went over. We have an infographic to support it and just a simple tool to help you take a few minutes a day, apply it to your daily life, and give us some feedback. We're on Twitter. We're going to be on LinkedIn. We have our website. You can send us comments. We love engagement. We love to hear what are you using from the Leadership Raccoon that's helping you. What are we missing that should be included? So check out our latest toolkit, and more to come from Leadership Raccoon and Mike Mears.